A-side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-side, yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.
Thank you for flipping to the B-side. As always, I am your host, Brian McKay. And today, I just planned on doing a review of the Captain Marvel movie. And then I woke up this morning, and as I'm, you know, getting myself ready for the day, I get a notification from Twitter, because I have a notification set for so many people on Twitter that, you know, I want to get what they put out immediately just to have a look at it. And one of those is Marvel Studios. Notification from them on Twitter. They have dropped the second trailer for Avengers Endgame. So at the end of this podcast, I'm going to talk about that as well. But first and foremost, Captain Marvel. For anyone who has not seen it, feel free to pause this podcast and come back to it after you've seen it if you do not want me to spoil anything. This is the reason I waited a week, because I was going to do a spoiler-free review, but I know me, and I know in excitement I would have said something to be spoiler-worthy, and I don't want to do that to anyone. So, like I said, if you're listening to this, you have not seen the movie yet, and you don't want to be spoiled, please go. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you pause it and go check it out and come back. But for those of you who are still here, my Captain Marvel review, I'll say this, I loved it. I saw it twice, and I plan on seeing it maybe one or two more times in the theater. For those who I've seen all over social media and such that have been giving it, you know, negative reviews or didn't like it for one reason or another, you're free to have your opinion, but I just feel like they're way off base on it. I think this movie did everything it needed to do. I mean, there obviously were not necessarily plot holes. I think they rushed a few things. But and you know, I had to remind myself that they pretty much filmed this after Infinity War and Endgame. And I'm sure, you know, they would go back and edit things in Endgame and Infinity War and think, okay, well, we got to make sure we do this in Captain Marvel to prove that point. And, you know, and I'm sure in the midst of all that, a lot of things were seemingly rushed. But for me, for someone who, and I've been honest on it, I'm big with the MCU, big into it. And I've never, you know, never been big with, you know, reading comics and things like that. But I've always been big into the movies. For someone who didn't read the comics, who doesn't know every backstory of Captain Marvel, this was perfect for me. I got everything I needed out of it. I saw, you know, and I understood where she came from and how she's gotten to be where she is. And it was all simple for me. I really enjoyed all the 90s references. Obviously, we saw the blockbuster reference in the trailer for the movie. I thought that was handled well. I loved the de-aging of Samuel Jackson and Clark Gregg's characters, Nick Fury and Agent Coulson. I felt that was really awesome to see. You know, as far as 1990 references, you had all the music. I thought, you know, it was almost like, as I was sitting there, my friend of mine that went and saw it the first night, I leaned over and I told her, I said, you know, somewhere in a stack of CDs in my storage, I've got majority of these songs on a CD together somewhere. I don't know. Because, you know, every one of them, I was thinking, you know, I got that song somewhere. I've had that on a mixed CD somewhere. Somewhere in time, I've had it. But it was, I thought those were very good choices for music. I know I've read and I've seen a lot of people saying that in the comic books, the scroll characters, the shapeshifters, are basically the bad guys in majority of the stories they're told in the comic books. And in this movie, as they start out in your mind as the bad guys, but you realize they're basically just refugees, and you know, the Kree are actually the ones who are the antagonist by the end of the movie. And I thought that was a good touch by Marvel, and it just goes along with society. You know, there's going to be, and they even, Ben Mendelsohn's character, who was a Skrull, and a character named, in the movie named Talos, he actually says in there that we have, you know, Skrulls scattered all throughout the galaxy. And they're not all going to be good. They're not all. It's just like our society. There's not all good people. There's not all bad people. They have room for, you know, down the line to make the Skrulls, make some of the Skrulls into negative characters, bad characters, and to bring about the secret invasion storyline that everybody wants from the comics. But I really thought that was a nice touch. I liked how they finally got to Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel's backstory, and bringing that into the forefront in those little flashback moments when the Skrulls had her hooked up to the mind machine that was kind of going through her memories, and you see different things. I liked how they kind of showed different pieces here and there. And just in flashbacks real quick, like throughout the movie, they did a good job of just kind of piecing her past together for the audience. As she's seeing it in her mind, you're seeing it too, and you're kind of piecing it together right along with her. I like that. Goose the cat, the Flurkin. I loved his involvement, and I wouldn't mind when Disney Plus come out if we got a little mini series of Goose the Cat and Nick Fury back in that time, just working together on different things. I think that would be something funny, just a little funny, you know, comedy mini series that would be hilarious. Let's see. I think honestly, Lashana Lynch's character, Mariah Rambeau, I think she stole the movie. I think there were many, many good jobs. I thought Brie Larson was great as Carol Danvers, as Captain Marvel. I thought, obviously, Samuel L. Jackson has perfected Nick Fury, and to see his origin story was, you know, was interesting as well. But I thought Lashana Lynch's character as Mariah Rambeau, she did an excellent job, and I hope that we get to see her possibly in Endgame or, you know, in the future. And Endgame is going to be 25, almost 30 years later from when Captain Marvel was set back in the 90s. So she'll be older, but then you'll have Monica Rambeau, who in the comics also plays Captain Marvel at some point. Monica Rambeau is Maria's daughter. There's a chance we might get to see that. That would be interesting. But overall, I thought it was really good. Thought it served its purpose. Got everybody. It got you. It gives you something while you're looking forward to Endgame. It gave you something to, you know, as the MCU fan, to go out there to watch and, you know, just kind of hold you over. And it did a great job. Did a great job on all the fronts. But don't want to spend a whole lot of time, and you can thank Marvel for this. I planned on spending so much more time on my Captain Marvel review. But since Marvel has come out, and if you want more on Captain Marvel, trust me, you can just search it on anywhere you get your podcast, anywhere on YouTube. Captain Marvel reviews, they are everywhere. I mean, people are out there, and they do some very thorough, in-depth reviewing. Please take a moment and go look at those, and go see the movie. I mean, it's definitely worth a viewing. But like I said, this morning I woke up. Avengers Endgame trailer number 2 had been dropped, and just kind of go frame by frame. First, we see Tony Stark, aka Iron Man. And the voiceover as you see the clips, is him. And I'm thinking it's possibly a continuation of the message that he was sending to Pepper Potts at the beginning of the first trailer. And we get flashbacks of his time in the desert when he escaped capture in the very first Iron Man movie. Then we get a Peggy Carter voiceover. And I believe, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, feel free. But I believe what she is telling, her voiceover is her talking to Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, when she was an older woman in Captain America, Winter Soldier, I believe it was. And she was saying, was kind of telling him that the world has changed. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best. And sometimes the best we can do is start over. That's a direct quote from the trailer. That's the voiceover. And while that voiceover is happening, you see a montage. We get Cap in his pre-serum days, when he's too small to fit his head into the soldier outfit of the Army recruitment poster. We get Hawkeye teaching possibly his daughter, but he's teaching someone, I'm thinking it's probably his daughter, how to shoot a bow and arrow into a target. And I'm gonna guess this is probably a flashback, because he's just so happy in that moment. And I'm thinking this is probably a flashback to when his family was possibly dusted in the decimation, a.k.a. Thanos' finger snap. Reason I think that is because in the next clip, we get Hawkeye in his Ronin outfit. And Natalie, a.k.a. Black Widow, finds him in that state where he's just looking just beside himself. Then we see Cap carrying Peggy Carter's casket. Then after that, and this is all in the same little montage, we get Thor, presumably in a flashback, standing with his father, Odin, on Asgard. Then we get the Thor voiceover talking about seeing all these people die. And with that, we get a montage of many, just a handful of the Avengers who were dusted. Surely he's feeling some sort of guilt for not going for Thanos' head with Stormbreaker at the end of Infinity War. If you remember in the first trailer, he's sitting alone, this Thor that is sitting alone looking either very sad or like he's about to drop a fire solo. I mean, he just looked like he was in deep, deep thought. From there, it goes to Captain America, Cap, talking to Nat, and it's apparent that some time has passed, because we see Nat and Black Widow, Nat, for anyone who's having trouble following this, Nat, Black Widow, hair is almost completely red, with a little blonde at the bottom tips. So clearly some time has passed in the midst of things, so we'll get some kind of passing of time in the movie. Then we'll see Ant-Man looking at a ton of missing people posters, which are wrapped around a phone pole, clearly showing more time has passed. And I'm thinking this is probably right after Ant-Man has found his way out of the quantum realm, and looks to be maybe a month or so has passed. You know, we'll get more when the movie gets here, but obviously some time has passed, and you know, for people to have missing posters up of folks. And I'm thinking he's going to find out real soon that his family and his friends, and obviously he's found out when he got out the quantum realm that Hope Van Dyne and Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne are all gone. And we saw that at the end of Ant-Man in the post-credit scenes, Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I'm sure he's going to see that his family, and more importantly to him, most likely his daughter, Cassie, may have been dusted in the decimation. Hawkeye and Ronin. Hawkeye, a.k.a. Ronin. I can't really tell. I know his hair looks different, so I'm just going to say Ronin at this point. Is running through a tunnel or a hallway with red lights. And on his left wrist is a white light, which could be coming from the wristbands that seemingly everyone on the internet has seen in the leaked set photos from Avengers Endgame footage, being filmed. The next scene is one of my favorites because I love Rocket the Raccoon. We get Rocket holding on to the shoulder of War Machine, and both look like they're ready to spring into action. This is definitely a team up in the movie that I'm not surprised by at all, but given Rocket's love for anything weaponry. I mean, I guarantee you when he sees all the gadgets and the weapons that come out of War Machine, he's probably all about that suit. He probably wants to be close to him as he possibly can, see if he could even maybe steal some of that for himself. Let's see, we got next scene, we got Cap talking to Hawkeye, and I could be way off on this, but just walk with me, talk with me through this. But this, in my mind, could be when the remaining Avengers go to recruit Hawkeye to help them, and I believe he turns them down the first time, but then agrees to work with them the second time they possibly come to. And I don't know if this was the first or the second time, but it could be one of the two times, if I'm correct with my theory. And I'll get more into that theory after I finish going through the rest of the trailer. But we get another quick montage of just plain awesomeness with multiple characters repeating the phrase, whatever it takes, over and over. And when I say whatever it takes, it's a voiceover. But anyway, Ant-Man, who looks to be either in his home or maybe his daughter's room, just the look on his face kind of looks like he's just now figuring out that, they're no longer there. Then we get Thor powering up, with Stormbreaker in hand. We get Nebula screaming and charging at something or someone. Hawkeye queuing up his bow and arrow. Nat sharpening her shooting skills over and over, just throws the empty clip out, pops another one in, and keeps right on shooting at the target. Cap strapping on his shield, and we saw this in the Super Bowl footage where someone is strapping on a shield and their hands are shaking. Well, we see now that it was actually Captain America strapping on his shield, and he looks like he's in the middle of some sort of battle. We get Ant-Man, his miniature size, using, looks to be a pencil as a catapult. And then we flash to Tony, who is kind of gazing off in thought. And seemingly, in that scene, he's still on the Guardians of the Galaxy ship adrift in space. Then comes the real kicker. At the end of this trailer, we get a shot of the remaining Avengers, minus Hulk. Now, I don't know if that's by design or it's going to be something where this is a misdirection and he's actually there. We just don't see him. They've cut him out of this scene. But they're all walking through Avengers Tower in the white and red, I'm going to call them quantum suits, that we've been shown on some recent toy leaks. And Tony Stark is actually, him and Nebula are both walking and both suited up with the rest of the group. And he's looking to have aged some, so more evidence that we may have some sort of time difference in the movie. After the Avengers logo connects and comes together, we get a bonus clip with Thor approaching Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, summoning Stormbreaker. He's had his hand out. The axe zooms by Captain Marvel, who does not flinch at all, and leading to Thor to kind of sheepishly grin and say, I like this one. And that's where we end on that trailer. I'm going to get back to what I was saying about Hawkeye possibly turning the Avengers down when they go to recruit him the first time. I may be off, like I said, but I just feel like maybe they go to him the first time because I think what's going to happen. I believe Captain Marvel and possibly Nebula and Tony all arrive back on Earth early in the movie, right after the snap. And after, I believe, some arguing, some infighting within each other, I think there's a small group that goes after Thanos without much of a plan, and obviously ultimately is defeated again. Then, after some time, the entire band, will mend their wounds, formulate a surefire plan and head into the possibly the quantum realm with the help of Ant-Man's Pym Tech and Tony Stark's nanotech. And you know, could be completely off base, but just some kind of way with that, that's where we get, you know, all of them going together and defeating and you know, basically rectifying the situation or you know, fixing it to the best of their ability. And like I said, that's and these theories are pieces of theories that I've gotten, and these are not my, you know, this is not something I created on my own. Gotten, you know, you'll see them throughout YouTube on, I'm not a Reddit person, but I know some of the YouTube users that I listen to on their channel, they have gotten some of their information from Reddit. And so I want to give them credit. But no, at the end of the day, I am fired up for this movie. I hope all the rumors are true and the runtime is actually 3 hours long, because best believe I will be sitting there in the theater for the entire 180 minutes with my face glued to the screen. But I want you all, let me know what you think, and whether it's, you know, something I've said here or some theory you might have of your own. Please comment down below, whether you're listening on YouTube or, you know, wherever you get your podcast. Apple, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify. Please leave a review, like, a comment. Let me know what you think. Let me know what, are you excited for the movie? That's all for me today. I know I've been kind of a couple of weeks in between episodes. I'm going to get better at that. Just trying to lock in some things. I know you're probably tired of hearing just me, so I'm trying to lock in some guests for future episodes. But again, thank you all for listening. And as always, thank you for flipping to the B-side. You can listen to the B-side podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, and TuneIn. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Please be sure to follow our show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the B-Side Podcast. That's at the B-Side Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to get all the updates and different things happening with our podcast. Be sure to email us any questions, comments, what you think you like about the show, what you don't like. Our email address is thebsidepodcast@gmail.com. That's thebsidepodcast@gmail.com.
B-Side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-Side. You can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply worldwide. Thanks for flipping to the B-Side. Yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.